Well, good morning. It is great to see everyone this morning. It is round two of our sermon series on our book, Take God at His Word. And today, I'll just be honest with you, is probably the least favorite of chapter or sermon or class on our least favorite topic. I'll just throw that on out there. It's like I said last week. It's just us, in here. Who are we? Who are we hiding from? Who are we? Who are we faking it for? You know, just call it like it is. This is most definitely one of the, one of the most unpopular topics of our life to speak of. Ward knows that as good as anybody. This morning he got the he had the hard topic as the shepherds, and I really appreciate them taking this as a topic of teaching in our adult classes and combining them, and they divide it up and say, okay, you take this one, you take this one, and Ward drew the short straw, and he got the tithing topic, and that is, it's something we don't want to talk about. Because, and I'll just be honest with you, it's something we don't want to talk about. You know why? We don't do it. We're just simple as that. Don't do it. This is something we do not do. And there's a lot of reasons why we don't. And I'm going to talk about those in no uncertain terms and unapologetically speaking. And I will say that because, and let me just get this out of the way too. I believe in this with all of my heart. I believe in the principle, the discipline, the reality of tithing. I do. And I will tell you this, as a leader of this congregation, as the preacher here, this is something that my family does, period. And it's something that we didn't always do, but it was a decision that we made early on in ministry. It said, you know what, that's what we do. And it was difficult to do that. And Vicki will say, yeah, because she's the one who handles the money. You don't ask me. I don't even know what our house payment is. I don't know what anything is. Vicki handles all that. If it was up to me, we would be living with some of y'all because I'm a 12-year-old when it comes to money. And that gives 12-year-olds a bad name. And the kids ask, if you want to go school shopping, you want to go with dad. Because mom's all about the clearance rack. I'm all about what you want. What do you guys, you like that? Sure, get that. So you just give them this card, they give you your stuff, and you just leave. It's free. I'm a 12-year-old when it comes, so Vicki handles that as Dave Ramsey would say, she is a nerd in our family. And that's just the way that it is. And but one of the things that we sat down and discussed as a family was this very real spiritual principle of tithing. If you want to know how much we give, find out how much I make, 10%, done. That's it. I believe in it, guys. I do. But not for the reasons that a lot of people on television or a lot of people who believe in it would have you to think. I believe it's a discipline. I believe it's a spiritual connection with our God, just like worship. It's a part of our worship. The fact is, it's the one thing that we can take from here every minute of every day. You know, we sing in here as worship. We pray in here as worship. You listen to sermons in here as worship. But what do we take with us? Remember Romans 12:1, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing. That's your spiritual act of worship. I believe in 24/7 worship. I believe our lives are all about God if we are children of God, if we are in kingdom citizens. I believe that. But what do we take with us? Do we take the songs from here? We can, and we should. And when we're in prison at midnight, guess what? We can be connected with God because we can sing, and we can praise Him, and we can remember through song, as Carson so eloquently pointed out last Sunday night when he gave us a devotional on singing. And if you missed that, you really missed a great principle that he talked about connecting with God. We take prayers with, I hope we do, but when we tithe, when we give our money, are means. Guess what? We leave here with that worship because it affects every bit of the rest of our week, the rest of our finances. At take God at His word. We're gonna be, last week we looked at motivations for giving what we give. And we're going to talk about our time. We'll talk about our talent. We'll talk about our wealth. About giving all of those things, whether it's, we talk about time. You want to talk about tithing? Real quick, I did some math. I like doing this because it makes me feel smart when I come up here. But you can tell it was on the worship bulletin. So I just did this. I wanted to have this done, but I forgot to do it earlier. Of our time, you know how many hours we have in a year? 8,760, if my math is correct. Talk about tithing our time. That's 876 hours of kingdom service in a year. Break that on down to 16 hours in a week, just over 2 hours a day. You know, the math's real easy when you take 24 hours in a day and then you just move the decimal over, so it's roughly two and a half hours a day that we get. And you're thinking, man, I couldn't come up with, what about prayer? What about our study? What about our communion, our meditation with God? Are we doing that? I've preached sermons where we talk about study. And I said, just take 5 minutes a day and build on that. How about this? Take 2.5 hours of your day and say, God, this is yours. Maybe it's serving. Maybe it's studying. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's on our face and in our closet praying to God for 2.5 hours a day as a spiritual discipline. Our talent, our wealth. I mean, do the math. I believe in tithing is real for a lot of reasons. This morning, as we talk about our time, our talent, and our wealth, we're going to talk about the blessing of tithing. Last week, we talked about the motivations. We talked about guilt and responsibility. We talked about needs. We talked about thanksgiving. We talked about worship as the motivation. Today, we're going to talk about the reality of what we give. If we've gotten our motivations, if we've gotten our mind wrapped around what ought to motivate us to be servants of God, to be children of God, to be kingdom citizens who just open up everything that we have to God, if we've wrapped our mind around the motivations for that and we prayed about that this week and we've investigated and we thought about what motivates me to give, if we've done that this week, and that's the only measure of a decent sermon, it's not whether it kept you entertained or whether it made you think. It's whether it changed your life from Sunday to Sunday. So if we thought about those things this week, today we're going to talk about the reality of what we give. We're going to talk about the amount. So this might be the sermon on the amount. I've heard that somewhere. I don't know. I just thought that was funny. So when we talk about the blessing of tithing, the blessings of tithing, you know how we say that? The blessings of tithing? How do you, Janice, English, how would you punctuate the blessings of tithing? I mean, you have to put a question mark after every word in that sentence. Because that's what we think when we read blessings of tithing. We don't believe that. Let me just say, we don't believe it. We don't do it. So when we think about the blessings of tithing, here's the facts. Don't argue with me. Just ask Jesus. Wasn't it He who said in Acts chapter 20 in verse 35? It was actually, wasn't Jesus who said this. It was Luke saying that Paul said that Jesus said, because Luke wrote the book of Acts and he's quoting Paul and Paul's quoting Jesus, but it comes with pretty good authority that Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Jesus is saying whatever we give away is a blessing to us. It's more of a blessing for us to give, whatever it is, to give our time, to give of our talent, to give of our wealth. The man said, Jesus said, you're more blessed when you give than when you get. You know what the context of Paul quoting Jesus? If you got your Bibles, turn with me over to Ephesians, or to Acts. Not Ephesians. Just kind of gave that away. Ephesians is coming up. Acts chapter 20. Is anybody else singing the song in their head? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts, yeah. So we can get there. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. In every way, in everything I did, I showed you that By this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. He's talking about work. He's talking about helping people. But more importantly than that, that's the surfacey context. You know what the real context in this? If you've got a Bible that labels the paragraphs, turn one page over. What's it say in that paragraph? It's Paul's farewell speech to the Ephesian elders. To the leaders of the church there in Ephesus, he's leaving. It's a tearful, heartfelt, farewell, where he's going away from them. He may never see them ever again. And the last thing he says to them, guys, remember Jesus saying, it's more blessed to give than to receive. The last words he said. Now, those of you who are parents, you know this. When you're leaving your kids, maybe you're going out for the evening and you're leaving, somebody in charge. With us, it's usually Lily. We leave in charge. And he's like, come on, man. When we're leaving someone in charge, the most important thing that you tell them is what? The last thing you say. Whenever your kids are, those of you who have kids that are driving, the last thing you say, be careful. The last thing you tell them is the most important thing that's going to affect, because that's the one thing you want them to remember more than anything else. And Paul picks this to say, guys, the most important thing that you can do is to give, to be generous, to be blessed by God. And this is how you do it. So the last thing he says is it's got to be important. He wants them to understand the importance of the blessings that they need from God. You see, so much of this life we can get carried away with what we have and what we can do and our abilities and our intellect and our dependence on ourselves. And he says, guys, don't ever, ever put yourself in a position where you forget to need God every minute of every day, because Jesus knows what it's like to depend on the Father for every waking moment, every breath, every step, every decision. Everything about his life for 33 and a half years was all about God. And he said, guys, that is a blessed life. You want to depend on God? You want a blessed life? The need him. Put yourself in a position to need God. The question then becomes, are we standing in God's way? Malachi 3 and 10 talks about God wanting to do things for us, wanting to be this God that just pours out blessings upon blessings upon blessings. And he says, guys, there's something that you are doing that is prohibiting me from blessing you the way that I want to bless you. Jesus says in Luke 6 and 38, what and how we give will be what and how we are given unto. In the same proportion, even. And I love that verse that we quote a whole lot. Remember Jesus saying in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, he says that, give and it will be given to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. We say that and we think, oh, that's what I want from God. I want God to put blessings on me, and I want him to press them down and shake them together, and I want them running over, and I want them to look at the context of what he's talking about. It's in the context of judging others. It's right after the context of loving your enemies. He's not only talking about the physical possessions and things and stuff. He's not really talking about that at all. He's talking about the life that we live. He's talking about the worship that we live. He's saying, guys, if you want to judge, then that's the kind of life you're going to live, as a judged life. If you want to live a life of spite and vengeance against your enemies, guess what you're going to get from those people? The same exact thing, and not just getting even, but getting ahead. We don't just get even. What's that saying? I don't get even, I get, or I don't get, mad, I get even. Yeah, he knows exactly. We'll pray for not. I don't get mad, I get even. I don't, you know, I get ahead, I get one up, whatever. And that's exactly what he's talking about. The kind of person, the kind of life, the kind of generosity, that's what we're going to reap. If we want to be, if we want people to be generous to us, then by God, we have to be generous. That's what he's talking about. For the sake of Christ, we're to be generous. Because that's the life we will live. That's the life we will receive. That's how it works. Not just about stuff. And then we have to ask the question. I went too far. Too fast. Here we go. What causes us to do the things we do? If that's the case, if that's the fact, if we are these... I keep stepping on this twig. No wonder it's... If that's the facts, why do we do, like Frank always asks me, son, why do you say the things you do? I don't know. He's always confused about what would cause a man to act like you act. He asks me that all the time. So I have to ask, what causes us to act the way that we act? Why do we do, why do we act like this? Are we afraid? Are we afraid of the outcome? Are we afraid? If God says give and it will be given to you, if he says the way in which you will be blessed is by being generous and blessing others, why are we afraid that God's not going to come through with his end of it? Or what I believe is that we're afraid of what it looks like to truly be blessed by God. Because that then takes away all the, we have all these excuses. I can't afford it. I don't have time. I don't have anything. You know what we're afraid of? We are truly afraid that God will remove all of the excuses that we have for not doing what it is that he's called us to do. I have no idea why I would say that, Frank. Because that's a scary thought. But it's the truth. It's the absolute truth, guys. I mean, go back in all the scriptures of people depending on God. Why did 11 guys sit in a boat and one guy got out? They were afraid. They're afraid of the reality of that. Why did, all of the times when people didn't do what it was that Jesus asked them to do, when they didn't, it was always because they were afraid. We're not afraid of going broke. We're not afraid of running out of time. We're not afraid of drying up our talent. You know what we're afraid of? We're afraid of God removing from us the thing that's keeping us where we want to be. We fear his blessing. For a lot of reasons, because then we can't, it's not glory be to me anymore. It's glory be to God. And then I'm not in control. Then God really is in control. Maybe we act the way we do. Maybe we give the way that we give because we're opposed to the health and the wealth gospel. You know, that is by far the number one answer. If we were in the family feud, that would be it. Why do we not give? Well, obviously, number one, ding, ding. I just don't like the way that feels. I've heard that already today by a couple of different people. You know, it sounds like that if we give, we're going to give. Are we opposed to that? Are we opposed to the health and the wealth gospel? You know, this is an approach issue. It's not an outcome issue for us. You know, we use that because we don't want to, we want health and wealth, but we don't want to feel like we're using God to get it. It's not an outcome. It's not the outcome we fear. It's the approach. All of us want health and wealth, right? So we're not so much opposed to the outcome. We want all that. We're willing to do whatever it takes to get that. As long as it doesn't involve God. See, this isn't an outcome issue. It's an approach issue. And this is key to so much of our understanding of God. It's about perspective. It's about our relationship with God. You see, the health and wealth gospel is just that. It's so that we can give health and wealth to other people. God needs givers so that he can give to them. He doesn't need keepers. You know why? They keep. Givers give and keepers keep. That's just kind of the nature of things. So what God needs, what he says is, I want to pour upon you these blessings because you're the kind of person I need to pour blessings upon, because what you're going to do is you're going to be this conduit of my grace. And as I dump it onto you, you will dump it onto others. And what I want more than anything else is for everyone in this world to experience me on a personal, up close, and reliable level. And if I give to you, I know you're going to give. He doesn't give to us so that we can have. He gives to us so that we can keep on and keep on and keep on giving. He doesn't ever say, I will pack your bank account. I will fill up your mattress full of stuff. I will put things. He says, give us today our daily bread. And if he dumps a bunch of bread, guess what? We get to open up a soup or bread kitchen. That's how that works. He says, I don't want to give to keepers. I want to give to givers, so that it can flow through you. It's not so that we can amass a big, spectacular estate here on this place. That flies absolutely contrary to everything God's ever said. This world is not my home. All of those things. It's going to burn up. He says, I want to get so that everyone around you can experience what grace feels like and looks like. And again, we'll have an opportunity to give an account for the hope that we have. Another opposition that we have, why we don't, another reason we don't give, or the reason we give, is because tithing is not still part of God's plan. Tithing is just not part of his plan. I hear, Shane, that's the Old Testament, this is the New Testament. Well, let me just say this. Point number two, tithing's always been part of his plan. It's always part of his plan. The idea, the concept, the principle, the spiritual discipline of the tenth, the tithe, the giving of the tithe, whether it's time, talent, or wealth, has always been part of this plan. It's referenced more than 50 times in the Bible, and yes, even in the New Testament. It's something that's just understood. It's one of those points that Jesus says, remember when his disciples said, teach us how to pray, and what did Jesus say? When you pray. Jesus assumes a lot of our relationship with God. He says, when you pray, when you give, when you do, he just assumes that this is the case. Luke chapter 18 and 12. You have the Pharisee talking about, don't I do this, and don't I give a tithe, and don't I give a tenth of this, and don't I give a tenth of that. In Matthew 23 and 23. You have the referencing of this very real spiritual discipline. It's always been part of God's plan. It predates the law. The reality of the tithe predates the law that we are so proud not to be under. Well, guess what? Neither is this concept, because it isn't a law. It isn't a requirement. It's a reality of the relationship of dependence upon God. It predates any law. It predates any Ten Commandments. Abraham referenced in Hebrews 7 and 2, and we'll talk a little bit about more of that in just a minute. Jacob in Genesis 28 and 22. These are pre-Law of Moses, Old Testament law accounts. It's always been part of God's plan for us to depend on Him. It's always been part of God's plan for us to trust Him. And it's always been part of God's plan for us to worship Him. See, tithing isn't about meeting a spiritual requirement. It isn't about, giving in order to get. It's about giving in order to be able to keep on giving, and giving more, and giving better, and giving extravagantly. See, tithing is all about spiritual growth. Because when we depend on God, I mean really, really depend on Him, we get closer to Him. It's about gratitude. It's about realizing that, remember in Deuteronomy he says, remember so you don't forget. He tells them, remember so you don't forget. This is a way in order for us to remember. As we tithe, as we give, as we make ourselves dependent on God, guess what we can remember? That everything, our breath, our life, our talent, our skills, our opportunities, every good and perfect gift comes from above. It's about remembering. But remember last week when we talked about need-based giving? If there's a need over here, which way do we typically look? If there's a need presenting itself right there, which way are we prone to look? If we see a need over here, I'll give you a hint. Or maybe at least just even that way. Just outside of my periphery. See, I can see that. Okay, so right here. See? I don't have my back on it completely, but if it's need-based, I have this uncanny, just real remarkable ability to look the other way. The tithing's about gratitude. It just slaps us in the face with it is from the Lord. Tithing's about trust. Question is, how close do we want to be to God? How gracious, how much from God do we want to remember that everything comes? The last thing is that tithing assures God's blessing. And this is, you know, back to the health and wealth thing, but remember, and this is the, you know, I was talking to another preacher this week, and we both agreed this is the most bizarre existence there is to live, that being a preacher. It really is bizarre to do what I do every week, to get up here and to proclaim these things and to say, to challenge you with things that I myself struggle with, and to preach the absolute word of God, knowing that I fall woefully short. But here's the thing, is that it's all about perspective. It's all about that paradigm. And the bizarre thing is that I try to change not only the way that I view God, but I want so desperately for all of us to take the way that we see God and suspend it for just a minute or two, and then try to come around to another side and see Him in a whole different light. When we think about tithing in order to assure God's blessing, it rubs us kind of wrong, because we're thinking, well, I'm just, you know, I'm using God, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to give in order to get. No, I want to get, but I don't want to use God to do it. But the problem is that our perspective is all wrong. If we're thinking, I want to give, I want to get, I want to get, I want to get, and I don't want to use God to do it, we got to get rid of the I want to get. You see, we got to be thinking, I want to give. I want to be blessed. I want to give. I want to be this generous person. I want to be able to give people my time. I want to be able to serve people with my talent. I want to be able to just lavish things upon people in need. So how do I do that? I just start doing it. And God's going to figure out a way to give me more of that so I can keep doing what it is that He wants me to do. It's all about our perspective and just seeing the reality. If we're wanting to just store up more of this place, then yeah, that's going to feel bad. God's not going to bless that. Oh, we might pile up a bunch of stuff, but that's not blessed. That's rich. Big difference. See, tithing assures blessings. God promises this. He promises it. Malachi 3, 9 and 10, He says, I dare you. I think God says, I double dog dare you to be these ridiculously generous, unselfish people, because I will absolutely show who I am. And I will be seen for who I am throughout all the nations. Matthew 6, 31 through 33, He says, hey, don't worry. If you give first to Me, if you give yourself completely to Me, all of your worries will be gone. And this is what He's talking about right here in Ephesians chapter 3 and 14 and following. You know what God wants to give us? He doesn't want to give us more money for the sake of having more money. He doesn't want to give us more talent for the sake of having more talent. He doesn't want to give us more time for the sake of being able to just do whatever it is that we want to do with it. This is what He wants to give us. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge. You may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You know what He wants to bless us with? An absolutely unearthly relationship with Him. To where we have this power. power to give. We have this power, power to receive and to let God's grace flow through us. That we have all this power, this hope, this recognition of how big our God is. It's way beyond physical blessings. But for us, as physical people, so often that's where it starts. Just to end with a couple of statistics. The average Christian in this country gives at a level of about 2.5% of their income. And the reality is that's not that much different here. We're a little bit higher than that. But if we tithe to the ministry, the mission, to the glory of God here, it would be ridiculous. We wouldn't know what to do with it.
Or it's like, oh yeah, we did.
We would, guys, it was like 400% is what what we would increase. Do you know how many people are hungry in this town? How many high school students are nervous when school is out because they're not sure if they're going to get to eat during that break? What if we said, God, you know, what if we opened up a food something and just said, you know what, if you're hungry, you can come here and we'll give you some food. You know how many people come here on a weekly basis needing something? Could God be glorified if money was no object? Because I'm telling you, if the people in just this room, forget those who aren't here today, if just the people in this room tithe as a spiritual discipline, money would be no object. And guess how many people could experience the grace of God? Because here's a place that's not concerned about where you came from, what you did, what you got. Like, just if you want, if you need, we will meet that need. And if just the people in this room tithe with their time and their talents, you know where we would save? And I'll say this. You know where we would save the most money in this congregation? If the people in this room tithe their time and talents, you wouldn't have to pay me at all. There would be enough people to preach and teach the word that I could go out and get a real job and I could join you in that. See, we pay people to do what it is that we don't want to do. And Vicky's like, dude, what are you talking about? You know how that house payment that you don't know how much it is gets paid? Hey, if we did that, we wouldn't have to pay me a salary. I could go find a different job. I could be out in the real world just like you, and I could be tithing my time and my talent just like you do. Wouldn't have to pay me. Wouldn't have to pay someone to go visit somebody in the hospital. Wouldn't have to pay someone to go and to reach it. Wouldn't have to do that. The problem is that Christianity is no longer a lifestyle. It's just a system of beliefs. That's all. Christianity is not a lifestyle. It's a system of beliefs. It's what do you intellectually assent to? What will you agree to? That's what I believe. That's what I believe that. Okay, that's Christianity. But it's not a lifestyle any longer. It's not a radical, life-changing, socially unacceptable, culturally, counterculturally real lifestyle. If you want to know what Christianity looks like, read the book of Acts. They had everything in common. When someone was in need, they sold what they had, they brought it, they gave it, they didn't quit, you know. It starts with tithing. I'm going to challenge this congregation. I'm not going to say we need to increase our giving 10%. No. I'm going to say this, and I will say this with authority as an example to everyone I stand before. Go home and look at your paycheck stub and move the decimal over one place and put that in the collection plate and depend on God. Period. And if you don't want to put it in the collection plate, find someone who needs it. Move it over one place. That's before taxes, before Uncle Sam, anything. Move it over one place and give that away. Burn it. I don't care what you do with it. Just get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get it out of your hands. And then depending on God's real, again, the Lord's like, okay, we got to fire this guy. Don't give it here. Here's a great place because there's ministries that need it. The discipline is get it out of your hands. For some of us, that's going to be going home and looking at a retirement and saying, okay, well, I'm going to have to make up for, fine, whatever. Get rid of it so that you then depend on God. So then God can, He knows, hey, there's one right there. Start pouring stuff because she's just going to just start giving it away. And watch how people will be blessed through you, through me. Do the time the same way. 2.5 hours. Don't start when you can. Don't start, because if you don't do it when you can't afford it, you won't do it when you can. That's what Vicki and I learned. We always said, we'll tithe when we get out of this debt. We'll tithe when we'll do the, because we can't. You know what we did? We just said, we drove a stake in the ground of our spiritual life and said, as of today, this is what we do. And just did it. And stuff had to go away. Our lifestyle was completely altered. I was challenged, Shane, if you won't do it now, you won't do it when you can. 10%, 2.5 hours. What are you good at? What's your talent? Bless somebody with it. Will Christianity become a lifestyle in this room? Will the life of Christ in us be a lifestyle and not just what we intellectually agree upon? The challenge is before you. The invitation is open. Would you stand with me and would you stand?